Hi, Royals fans. This is JJ Piccolo. The University of Kansas Health System is the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Royals.
And gone!
Trust the same experts who make the right call for the Royals and go to kansashealthsystem.com/royals.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Now it's time to talk to Andy Rogers. You know this is all I hear when Selena is in the car, right? Some combination of Harry Styles or One Direction or anything. She's not giving up on that. Oh, boy. Andy, how are you?
I'm good, and I appreciate the intro there with a little bit of baseball from last night and One Direction, my two worlds kind of colliding, so... Nice job, guys. Thank you for that.
Help me out here with some useful advice. I've been told now that I'll be taking one of my daughters to see Niall Horan at Starlight in July. And so is this, I know it's not One Direction, but it's he's a member. Is this, have you seen him solo? Do you have any thoughts on what I might be walking into in July at Starlight?
No, I haven't seen him live. I'm hoping I can go to that as well. I've got a Texas trip. I believe it's over the All-Star break, but still need to look at that. But, no, he's great. He's one of my favorites from the group. Don't think I have a least favorite, but he's awesome. And I love his music. I love his solo stuff. So I'm excited for you to experience it.
All right. I'm excited now. That's a good way to talk it up. Nate Buchanan, your witness.
I think that what you're really trying to say here, Annie, is how excited you are to have Jake running the show again, because he really put that whole segment intro in for you. So did you realize how much you missed him?
No, every day it's like, man, I really want Jake back, and here he is.
Wow.
Thankfully he's back. It's really making me feel welcome to come on the show every week.
Somewhere Marco in tears, but that's fine.
Where Marco.
Jake is...
That's all right.
It wasn't a knock on Marco just so much Jake is just...
He just gets me.
There's just
something about Jake. Yeah. We still don't know what it is, but it's something, isn't it? All right, well...
Try to take care of our guests.
So the Royals... had a little bit of a cold stretch, then they got hot again, and now they're a little bit cold again. Couple of tough losses to the Detroit Tigers before losing to Toronto. They were hoping that Bolin could come up and give him a good start, but he had issues with command. What went wrong for Jonathan Bolin last night?
Yeah, he threw 68 pitches and couldn't get out of the third, so it's not what you want to see, and at that point, the Royals have to keep it close there. We heard Q say, it's just about execution with two strikes. He got into a good count with hitters, but then he would kind of lose the at-bat, and they would get back into it, and then he couldn't execute that put-away pitch or, get weak contact, things like that. So just, he had good stuff. I heard my question about hitting the upper 90s, and I asked him that as well, and he said, yeah, velo's good, but, he needs to command it. So I think his hardest pitch of the night was 98.5, but it was a ball. So you'd like to see some of that in the zone, but definitely things for him to build on. I don't know what the Royals are going to do with the start, that spot again when it comes up before Alex Marsh comes off the IL. They could keep Bolin in the rotation. They could try something else. But certainly he can learn from what happened last night.
Higher velocity and a little less accuracy sounds to me like a guy that might just be a little amped up. Is it as simple as that? Big moment? Maybe just a little amped up?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's been really good in AAA. He knows how to pitch. But things change when you step on a big league mound, especially on the road, and especially against a Blue Jays team that the offense has struggled this year, but they can erupt at any moment, and that's what they did last night, especially Justin Turner, who's been good this year, hasn't had a lot of help around him in that lineup. And last night, you know, he did had a two-run homer and then the solo home run and then another home run from Danny Jensen. So there's you know, things can change. The nerves get a little higher and you get a little bit more pumped up. So, you know, I thought it was really interesting stuff that he brought. You know, I really like that fastball, both of his fastballs. He's got some good breaking stuff. So if anything, he showed, like, he can be a piece somewhere, whether it is in the rotation, if he can get his command back, or maybe he would make an intriguing bullpen piece.
So on the flip side, look, hey, the Royals came back and made it a game, but they left a lot of guys on base yesterday. Steven and I were talking about this earlier today. How concerned should we be with the bottom third of the order, particularly not getting much production out of the corner outfield spots in DH right now?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing is you've got to have MJ Melendez's bat back. It's got to get going. That we've talked about this. This is the key to that offense, you know, to help protect those middle guys, give some pop to the outfield into the bottom half of the lineup. You know, last night, really, they got production from Kyle Isbell and Trey Fermin, two guys who you wouldn't expect to get power from. But then the middle of the lineup didn't produce the way that it needed to. So there was kind of like a, you know, you typically want that to be switched, right? You want the middle of the order to produce. So they made it a game, certainly, and certainly you want, you know, five runs. That's pretty good for a night. But like you said, left a lot on base, and especially that ninth inning, really frustrating when you've got the tying run on third base and Michael Massey strikes out swinging. So definitely there's some frustration there in the offense right now. And the thing is, though, those guys are going to keep getting opportunities. So, you know, they've got to work their way out of these slumps.
So let's go back to the original point you made. You know, you and I have talked about this since the beginning of the season, that MJ Melendez is such a key component to balancing out this order. And, he got off to such a good start. I was really optimistic. It's gone the other way now. Anything in particular you're noticing that he's struggling with right now? How do they get him back on track?
Yeah, well, last night he had two hard hit balls and some really good catches from the Blue Jays outfield. So it's like, you know, when you're in a slump, it's like you can't catch a break, and he certainly couldn't last night. But it just looks like he's kind of off balance in his swing, can't catch up to the fastball, things like that. I mean, you know, if they're pitching in, he's swinging out, or if they're pitching out, he's trying to swing in. So there's kind of just he looks just off balance up there. You know, he's been in slumps before. He can get his way out of them. We saw that last year. We saw him get off to a good start. And you know, he's going to get the opportunity to do that. So he just needs to – it starts with swing decisions. It starts with having a good mentality when you get up to the plate. And then eventually you got to catch a couple of breaks, which he certainly didn't last night. But the Royals are going to face a lot of right-handers, which means I'm just going to be in that lineup. So this is a good chance for him to kind of get his way out of it.
Kind of going backwards towards that – back to that series with Detroit – seems like these are two teams that are pretty evenly matched with that upward trajectory with some good young talent that have their best years ahead of them. But then you have Cleveland, who jumped off with a fast start, and all of a sudden now Minnesota is red hot. And I know that things could change as we progress through the season, but I mean, do you think there's a whole lot that separates these four teams? We know Chicago is the worst team, but and Cleveland so far has been the best. But, man, like I said, Minnesota's hot. The Royals have had their moments. Detroit's been pretty good. It seems like we could end up having a pretty decent four-team race, at least for a while.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's what I thought would happen, actually, when before the season started. You know, everyone was asking about the record, and the record notwithstanding, I felt like the four teams in the AL Central at least will be competitive enough for against themselves to see who, you know, is at the top by the end of the season. So, like, if anything, it should be a fun race division-wise. I don't know how they'll stack up against other divisions, but there's going to be a race. If, you know, the Royals can keep keep this up, where they're winning more, obviously more often than not, and they stay on pace with the Tigers, there's going to be some fun games and some they're going to be competing for the division in the second half if this keeps up. So there's a chance here for sure. I'm really interested to see how Cleveland kind of fares over the next month or so, just with how their offense kind of, if their offense continues the way it has and things like that. And obviously you notice the Twins being red hot right now. So it'll be interesting, at least, the actual division competing for that first spot. I think the Royals have a real chance.
And it would be great to see them, compete well into the summer to, and number one, and I think back too, is maybe even if they aren't ready to arrive and win a division or get a wild card spot, this could be, 2013 was so important for the Royals before they had that back-to-back World Series appearances in 14 and 15, because you have that experience of playing competitive baseball, playing meaningful baseball late into the summer, and establish yourself as a winning franchise again. I mean, there's a lot of value to that, and there's a lot of value playing important baseball, especially for these young players, and also evaluating Matt Quatero, because it was unfair to evaluate, the way he handles a bullpen and everything else. There's a lot of value to playing meaningful baseball late in the summer, even if you don't get to the postseason, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, that's because of the way the Royals have started, you are now seeing and feeling there's, a vibe around the team that, they expect to win every night. Not that they didn't last year, but it's just different when you actually are winning and you've shown that you can win these one-run games and you can come back like they've shown. They have good pitching. So there is an expectation in the dugout, in the clubhouse, and around the team that's different. And I think that is as valuable as actually just being in the race because, these games right now, like last night, they were frustrated. They came back, they kept it a game, but they were really frustrated that they let that one slip away. And that can maybe fuel them moving forward. So there's certainly a new expectation with this team, and we'll see how it plays out over the summer. But absolutely, even just being in the race, not saying you're out of it by May 1st, which is tomorrow, is an important step, I think, for the organization.
Andy Rogers is our guest. We were having a conversation a little bit earlier with former Royals reliever Jamie Blumen. Again, it's too early to pull the plug on anyone, but there is at least some concern about the lack of production in the outfield and at DH. And so we were just wondering, okay, who's even maybe pushing the conversation down at AAA by performing well, and who would be an option? We talk about Bolin trying to establish himself as depth in the rotation, and so offensively, who's showing that they could be depth if there's an injury or anything else? And the guys that are putting up big numbers, Nate Eaton, familiar with him. Drew Waters, we've seen him. But the guy right now with the highest OPS is C.J. Alexander. And he was part of that trade that brought Drew Waters over. And we remember George Brett raved about him during a spring training broadcast. And he's got an OPS of 931. I know he plays third and first. He's played some outfield before. How does, since we kind of know what they think of Eaton and Waters, how does the organization view C.J. Alexander, and maybe what's his future possibly with the Royals?
Yeah, well, they knew he was a good player when they got him with Drew Waters in that trade. They were excited about him. Obviously, Waters was the headline piece, but they got a couple of other pieces that they were excited about. And Alexander has a good bat. He has some power potential. The problem with him, just from a roster perspective, is he plays first and a little bit of third, and the Royals have those two positions pretty locked down, especially depth-wise. So he's going to have to maybe start getting some playing time in the outfield, corner outfield, and go from there. I don't foresee him. He's certainly doing everything that he can to force his way into that conversation if there is an injury. But I think he still has a little bit of ways to go as far as from where he can play defensively to show that he's ready for the big leagues. Just by learning the corner outfield, getting some reps out there, being confident enough for the Royals, if something happens to say, okay, let's bring him up and turn to him for the corner outfield spot. So certainly if there's a need at first or maybe even a little bit of third, they can have him. He's on that depth chart. But I think they're really excited just about what he has shown in AAA. And you mentioned Eaton and Waters as well and a couple other guys. You know, there is depth down there, which is really the most important thing. I wrote about that a couple of weeks ago. There's real major league depth down there rather than, you know, they feel good about if something happens, they can bring someone up and not, you know, hopefully miss a step.
So is the plan to get him some more work in the outfield while he's down there?
Yeah, I think I heard that a couple of weeks ago when I was asking about the depth. They might try to get him out there a few times. I don't think it's happened yet. There are plenty of outfielders on that roster, too, that need playing time. So that there's kind of a jam there. But I wouldn't be surprised if he's getting work out there during BP or extra work, you know, with coaches just to start getting reps out in the corner outfield. But that happens with a lot of guys. I don't want to make a new story out of nothing.
Right.
Ton of guys try to increase their versatility through that extra work during batting practice.
So what did you think, because Cole Reagan's last start, he bounced back nicely after giving up 7 earned runs against the Blue Jays. He only gave up 1 earned run in 5 innings. But the highlight, I'm sure that you were thrilled with it. What did you think of the nearly 4-hour rain delay? Was that a thrilling night out of the ballpark?
I was losing my mind. No, it was not thrilling. I was slowly like driving myself insane. I'm like, I couldn't even figure out why we were waiting. And you know, when we got to the park, I was like, there's no way they're going to play this game. And then they started the game. There's no way they're going to get through 5. And then they got through 5. And I was like, there's no way they're going to wait this out. It's already official. And then they waited it out. And it was brutal in every aspect of the entire day. And I don't think I left the park until like 8:30 that night. Or 9. Like it was a mess, but those things happen. And you know, the game was only like an hour and a half, so we were there for 4 hours afterwards. But yeah, I don't know. Cole Reagan's got his first career full game, so complete start. So there you go.
It counts.
Yeah, I was out of town, and so I wasn't, like, on top of it at the time that it was happening, and I got an angry text message from a buddy of mine going, why are they not calling this game? And I'm like, I don't know what's going on right now. What, when it gets to that point, is it the umpire's discretion?
Yeah, obviously the Royals wanted it to end. It was an official game. The Blue Jays wanted to keep going. They were only down by a run. We've seen these teams, you know, it's been competitive games. They clearly felt they could... they could get that run. I mean, if it was 7-1, things might have been different. But they wanted to play, so they waited it out. And the funny thing, that's not funny, but like it did stop raining like 2 hours after the first delay after the tarp came off. But because it was pouring when they were still playing in the fifth inning, the infield was an absolute mess. So they spent another hour and a half trying to fix the infield, and the Kansas City grounds crew just absolutely tried to work their magic. They did a great job, but in the end, the umpire, the crew chief, decided that it wasn't going to be safe to play on the infield, and felt like the infield was too soft. They basically put an entirely new infield on the field. Like there was so much new dirt, and just felt like it was too soft, so they called it. The Blue Jays weren't happy about it, but that's why you've got the third party there to make that decision.
All right, we'll see if Cole Reagans can beat him again. Annie, thanks for the time. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Thank you.
That's Annie Rogers from MLB.com, Royals beat reporter and One Direction enthusiast. So,
not long rain delay enthusiast.
No. Who is?
Nobody.
Right. Gary Lezak, probably.
Yeah. Oh, wow, guys.
Right. We'll be back after this on WHB. What Sports Radio 810's premiere of the Fall Guy movie. When? Thursday, May 2nd. Where? B&B Theaters on 135th Street in Overland Park. The unknown stunt man. Say it's a star. I wish Lee Majors was in this movie, but crank it up.
Spent much time in school, but I taught ladies plenty. It's true, I hire my body out for pay.
Hey.
I've gotten burned over Cheryl T.
Blown up for Raquel Welch.
But when I wind up in the hay,
it's only hay. Hey.
I might jump
an open drawbridge or Tarzan from a vine. Because I'm the unknown stuntman that makes Eastwood look so fine. How do you win?
They'll never make
listen to the Border Patrol.
But I got the best first ladies. Some days I've got on the
I'd like to give away two pairs of tickets. How? Because I read everything verbatim, irritating Jake. Callers 8 and 10 to 913-3810-810. 913-3810-810.
Call now.
Sports Radio 810's hosting a special premiere of the new Fall Guy movie Thursday night at B&B Theaters on 135th Street in Overland Park. B&B Theaters, enjoy the way movies are meant to be seen on the big screen.
Call now.
The family-owned and operated movie theater company that operates a cinema location not far from you with nearly a dozen locations across the KC Metro. Their newest luxury entertainment complexes offer the latest in sound and comfort, electric reclining seats, grand screen, marquee suite, screenplay, MX4D, full bars and restaurants, and so much more. For nearly 100 years, B&B Theaters have been serving communities across the nation. B&B Theaters, the big screen is back! Ryan Gosling, Emily Blunt. The movie's an adaptation of the 1980s TV series of the same name that starred Lee Majors, but with updated spectacular sequences, sure to bring the excitement.
It looks awesome. What time is the showing on
Cole
Thursday?
Cole Sievers and Howie.
Call now.
What time is it?
What time is it right now? It's 9:38 a.m. Show's almost over, buddy.
I gave you everything I gave Steven.
Oh, I'm supposed to read that?
Nope.
No. I just give it to you so I can. Can't say I didn't tell you. Cover my ass, you know?
It's quite an ass you got there.
Well, smart math, the time's not on here. All this information, there's no time. Gabe Boucher, get your ass in here. Hustle down the hallway now.
Get the water boy in here.
Get in here. You said to hold you accountable. I'm holding you accountable first. First up, first test, are you listening to the show? Are you listening to the station you work for? God knows sales isn't. Hey, Steven, are you available for a meeting at 8:30 a.m.? No, I'm not. I'm busy.
Well, maybe, what about tomorrow?
What are you doing?
At 8:30.
Paging Gabe Boucher. Paging Mr. Herman, Mr. P.W. Herman. He's really not going to come in here.
Because I'd like to go, but my son has soccer practice at 6.
Let's figure it out then.
Be fun to take Ben to that.
913-3810-810.
Looks like a great movie.
We could call us 8 and 10. You know what it is? A good old-fashioned action movie.
Yeah. But it's an action, what do you call it? Action romance movie.
Okay.
Most action movies have a little romance in them, don't they? But like a rom-com... ROM action?
We are slowly finding out that no one in the building listens to this show.
Is this, we're just learning that?
Yeah. Well, I've known it. Oh, look who else is in it. Lee Majors is in it.
Oh, boy. Oh, all right. Hannah Waddingham.
Let's see?
Of Ted Lasso and Game of Thrones fame. And Thunder Gong fame.
I wonder what kind of role they gave Lee Majors. That makes me happy, the $6 million man.
You think he's like the mentor to the Fall Guy?
Nah, I want to go.
You didn't want to go before that, but now you do.
No, I did want to go. Just Thursday's tough for me.
Yeah.
But now I really want to go. Huge Lee Majors fan. Two of my favorite TV shows of all time, $6 Million Man and The Fall Guy. So, yeah. A huge fan of Hannah Waddingham, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh!
Oh, here he comes.
Come here. What time's the movie? Mr. Info Sheet? Just point to the time on there for me. So I'm asking. Get the microphone. We're on the radio.
Oh, hi, everybody. How are you?
Good what time's
you.
The...
It's good to hear you.
What time's
good
the, to hear you. What time is the premiere?
Well, the premiere at our good friends at B&B Theater for The Fall Guy. Yeah. But you got to get tickets. Thanks. Thank you all to listening and being a part of that. You want to be there between 5 and 7. Come early. Get some refreshments and that.
That's a big window between
it
5
is.
And 7.
Come early. Movie's going to start.
Early, Jake.
Movie's going to start at about 7 o'clock.
Okay, there you go.
But you got to get your tickets. You can't just show up. You got to listen to you guys. We're going
to
be giving them on social media.
We need to listen
to you
guys.
You can't buy tickets.
We are on the morning.
No, you're private showing.
Private showing. It's the day before, like not for the everybody else. So there you go.
What do you mean listen to us? We're on the air in the AM.
Be there between 5 and 7.
No, I'm just saying that you come by. They got get snacks, all kinds of stuff.
Right,
get you some popcorn.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
You mean it's going to take 2 hours?
No, I'm just saying, leave a
really
window.
Dodge up that popcorn.
Right.
Get you a little slushy thing. Get you stuff.
Get you a slushy.
You can
slushy.
Use my friend Jeff's little loyalty code, and then you can get in there. You know how you have like the loyalty code or whatever? Have you ever used
the friends? I've already got an account with B&B.
So there you go. Use that, and then.
I'm a loyal customer.
Telling you, that really helps. Use that. You get your popcorn. Mm-hmm. You get your drinks. All kinds of stuff.
This movie looks good.
Good. Did you ever like the truck and the old one?
It was great.
That was the one I wanted.
Everything was great about it. I loved it.
Heather Locklear back in the day when you were a kid.
Are you... 7 o'clock is when it starts.
Yes.
But get there
but
at
you want
six.
To get there early. Get there
get
early.
There at
get
six.
Checked in.
5 seems
stuff.
Ridiculous, but, you know, between 5 and 7. And all they do, so they do they get the tickets there?
So you come in, you check in, there's going to be a table there that says 810, and then, bam, you check in.
But you don't need to do anything before you check in. Your name will be there.
That's it. Your name's on the list.
Who just won?
Mitch? And Walter.
Mitch and Walter.
Strong name.
Mitch and Walter. Hey, Mitch. Hey, Walter. Show up there between 5 and 7. Check into the 810 table. Who'll be at the table?
Our friend Alex.
Our friend Alex will be there. Check in, and she'll get you taken care of to go see The Fall Guy. How about that? We're not just sports. We're also movies.
Entertainment.
Yeah. Thank you.
Can you sing the old theme song?
Oh, I just did on the air.
I was in there talking it. Otherwise, I would have been
right,
a loyal
right.
listener.
Yep.
You wish we'd talk Chiefs?
Somebody wants you to.
I know. Thank you, Gabe.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for all of your help. This looks like it's going to be a lot of fun for a lot of people. Nate wants to take his boy. Can you get him tickets?
Oh, yes,
or does he
absolutely.
Have to win? Or does he have to leave the studio and call into his own show?
That'd be awesome.
Is that what we have to
he's
do?
He's got his phone out. Maybe he's going to...
Oh, hold on here.
We'll first time caller, long time listener.
You. We'll be back after this on WHB. Let's finish the show with a couple of more comments from Brett Veach. If that's all right.
Veach!
In case people missed it earlier, Travis Kelce... And the Chiefs redid the final 2 years of his contract, giving him more money as well. They
back
should.
At it again, baby.
Ooh.
Back at it again, baby. Ooh. See a little Super Bowl right there, man. Feels good to be in KC. I remember coming here 12 years ago, man. It's an honor and a pleasure, and I can't wait to get after it these next 2 years, but No better than right now. Getting fired up for this year. Just got on the field with the boys. Doggone, we're back at it, baby. Chiefs forever.
That was Travis Kelce on social media talking about getting more money. Here is Brett Veach. And why it was important to take care of Travis Kelce.
It's hard to put into words what Travis means to this organization, this city, and was certainly a priority to adjust his contract for us, and it was something that was important for Clark. So very fitting that Travis is now the highest paid tight end in these 2 years. I want to thank his agents, Michael and Greg, for all their hard work. Chris Shea, Jack Walloff on our side for all their hard work. So, again, just a really special day and moment for this organization to once again recognize arguably one of the greatest tight ends to ever do it.
How long do you see Travis playing for the Chiefs? And not just playing, but being the player he's been and everything else he's been for the organization. How long do you see that continuing?
Well, I mean, every now and then you have one of these guys that are outliers, and certainly Travis is one of those players. It's funny, it's not even May yet, and today we had a chance to get out there in phase two, and guys were out there running around, and Travis was the first guy in line, and, I mean, he looked like he was 28 years old. And again, I mean, the odds of someone playing this far into the 30s are very low, but it does happen, and it happens with just unicorns in the profession, and Travis is one of those, and we'll certainly celebrate this with him, and hopefully we can ride this thing even longer. So we'll just have to wait and see, but I've shown no signs of slowing down, and everyone notices the kind of postseason he had, and he just found that extra gear. And these special players are always able to find that extra gear, and again, I mean, if anybody can do it, Travis can.
I've said this before. One more quickie, Jake, number eight. Here, Veach was asked about the possibility of re-signing some veterans like Mecole Hardman or Donovan Smith.
You know, we'll use this OTA period to kind of assess that. I think we feel good right now. I mean, look, a lot of these guys were playing college football last year. So I think how they do here in the meetings and how they do with just kind of absorbing the information and can they translate out there in the field is a big deal. Now, listen, we don't have pads on, so some of it, may tail into St. Joe's into training camp. But I think for right now, I think we're going to let these young guys go out there and see what they can do and how much they can absorb. And if we feel good about it, I mean, this will be kind of where we go from St. Joe's, and then we'll be able to adapt and adjust if needed. But I don't think anything would be imminent.
There you have it. Didn't close the door, but didn't confirm anything, so we'll see. Who knows? That's the show, whether you like it or not. Stephen St. John, Nate Bucati, and Jake Gutierrez.
I think people liked it.
Three amigos. Now, it's time to rest. Time for siesta. Do not wake me up until tomorrow. Bye-bye, everybody. It's been a pleasure. Trust me.